Blog Talk Radio.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWRDB.
Good evening, and welcome to the It's Me Nicole broadcast of the podcast. And I'm Nicole, your host, Nicole Quinlan Lee, and welcome this evening for the second broadcast of the It's Me podcast in January. Happy New Year, everyone, because believe it or not, we're still in January, even though it's going by extremely quick. Tomorrow is the last day of the first month of 2024. And I mean, if time isn't flying, then I don't know what it's doing, because it is definitely flying by. And I just appreciate you logging in and listening to me, or calling in and listening to me, because I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing, but you've chosen to listen to me either now live, or you log on later in a day, on another day. And again, I just really appreciate the support. I do encourage you to share the podcast with at least one other person. And like I always say, there's a lot of platforms to bring you gossip and to bring you, you know, a lot of the stuff that's going on right now. And sometimes I talk about that stuff, but my platform is for positive, empowering, and insightful conversation. And I'm always going to come to you with that, because I think there's enough platforms out there, you know, that bring other topics that, you know, are not really stimulating our minds. And so I'm going to always have discussions that help us grow, help us walk in our greatness, help us understand the importance of self-love and acceptance. And, you know, when I stop doing that, or when I stop having the desire to do that, I'm going to stop doing this podcast. But it hasn't happened yet. I haven't got tired, and it's been 3 years, and I keep on going, and I keep on going, because after every podcast, at least one or two, sometimes more, but I always get someone who tells me that something that I said encourages them. And that's what I've always said. If it only hits one person, if it only makes one person think about how they can love themselves better, how they can walk in their greatness, then my goal is accomplished. So, again, welcome to the It's Me, Nicole podcast. I did change the name, if you don't know, because Phenomenally You just seemed like a tongue twister, so I decided to change it up for a minute. And I love It's Me, Nicole. It stands for, being that my name is in it, it's just about me and the things that I think. And I hope that I encourage you. I hope that I inspire you. A lot of times I'm talking, it's just me talking about stuff that I'm not trying to change anyone. A lot of times I'm talking to myself. Because you know what, anything that I talk about, I'm not perfect in anything. I just told someone the other day, if you're striving for perfection, then you're going to disappoint yourself, because there is no such thing as perfection. So stop striving for it. Just strive to be the best that you can be. And that doesn't mean perfect. But I can tell you this, you are technically perfect the way that you are, the way that you came in this world, the way that you look, the way that you sound. Right? Everything about you is the way it is for a reason. And that is part of the reason that I have this podcast, just to remind you that there's nothing the matter with you. You came into this world exactly as you should be. And regardless of what you see out there, regardless of the things that people are pushing out on you, you're fine just the way you are. So again, I see more people logging in. Welcome to the It's Me, Nicole podcast. And if you missed my podcast last a few weeks ago, it was the New Year podcast, and I just want to go really quick over some stuff that I talked about. And I went over 6 points. One was if it don't fit, don't force it. Two was do you need it or do you want it? Three I talked about is work on being better. Number four I talked about is if you don't know, now you know. Number five I talked about the last time was commit to yourself. And number six is live your life. And I believe these are 6 things that we need to focus on in order to have the lifestyle that we need. We don't have to make New Year's resolutions, you know, I'm going to lose this weight, you know, I'm going to, you know, write this book. What you need to do is say, I'm going to be better. And whatever that is, it will fall into place. I am going to be better. And so to piggyback on what we need to do this year, 2024, in order to be the best people that we can be, I want to talk about something that I notice a lot of lately, like a lot of it, and that's conflict. And I'm talking about we see it all the time. If you're on social media, you see a lot of conflict that was happening. You know, even though a lot of people don't listen to her or listen to them, Meg Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj, they're having conflict. Jess Hilarious had a little conflict with the Breakfast Club, probably the producers or whomever, about, you know, in terms of her being the third host. We have conflict. We have war conflicts going on. The things the war in Israel is still happening. Believe it or not, the war in Russia and it's still happening. Well, Russia attacking the other country is still happening. The issues that we have going on in the Congo is still happening. This is all conflict. And then we see the conflict that we deal with within our lives. We deal with personal conflict. We deal with conflict with each other. And how do we deal with this every day so that we can live our best life in 2024? And just like everything else that you do, you have to practice working on processing conflict mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So the first thing that I want to talk about tonight is us getting an understanding of conflict and how conflict is settled within you. How do you deal with conflict? Who taught you how to deal with conflict? What kind of lifestyle have you had? Who have you been around? Where did you learn to deal with conflict? And there's so many ways that we have been raised to deal with conflict. Some people are raised to be very defensive. Some people are raised to be doormats. You know, they never speak up for themselves. Some people are raised to always go for the win, meaning they can never be wrong. They're never going to compromise. They're never going to accommodate. They're always going to fight until to win no matter what. How we deal with conflict is just as much a part of how we were raised as how we deal with other cultures or what we think about other people. It's the same thing with conflict. The way we deal with conflict is solely based on how we were raised and what we were exposed to. So that's the first thing that I want you to think about. I want you to think about how have you dealt with conflict in your life. Write it down. And then also write down what you think were the most major factors in how you deal with conflict. And then also think about, do you deal with conflict in a negative or positive way? Do you allow conflict to steal your joy? Do you allow conflict to ruin your day? Do you allow conflict to ruin your year? Do you allow conflict to rule you and how you feel about other people and how you feel about yourself? And this is a really big deal. How do we deal with conflict? We see it all day, every day. And so, you know, I love a good definition. So I Googled it. So everything you could just Google. I looked up the definition of conflict. And it's a serious disagreement or argument, typically a protracted one. And, of course, you know, Nicole had to look up the definition of protracted, which is lasting for a long time or longer than expected. So it's a serious disagreement or argument that lasts for a long time or longer than expected. So think to yourself, how many conflicts do you have right now? How many people are you not speaking to? How many issues that you have that have not been resolved and have been going on for days or months or years, and it hasn't been resolved, and you haven't taken the time out to figure out how to resolve it or to become one with it so that you can move forward past it? How many conflicts are holding you back right now, right this minute, right this second that you can think of? How do you deal with conflict? How is conflict affecting you on a daily basis within yourself and with relationships that you have with other people? So I also was looking it up, and it says that conflicts are a clash of interests, opinions, or principles. We already know that, no matter what it is. I call it the, you know, everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be heard, no matter what it is. It's like an epidemic right now. If you go on social media, people are dealing with conflicts that are not theirs. They're taking on other people's conflicts. They're arguing on social media, trying to make people understand their point of view, people that they'll never meet, about a conflict that has absolutely nothing to do with them. It doesn't benefit them at all. As a matter of fact, it doesn't take anything away from them at all either. They just are invested. And that had me think of this question: has conflict become the it thing? Has it become the it thing? Has conflict become something that people think that they have to have? I'll tell you this, you can't live life without conflict, but has conflict become this thing that people feel draws attention? And so they walk in the conflict, or they create conflict that isn't really there. Again, I ask you to ask yourself, what is your relationship with conflict? How is conflict affecting your life? How is conflict affecting your ability to walk in your greatness? And I'm going to keep on throughout discussion, or I guess it's not a discussion, if I'm just talking, I'm going to keep on asking you this, these same questions, because I really want you to think about that. I really want you to be honest with yourself about your relationship with conflict. I really want you to think about how you were raised, the people you were exposed to, and how that affects how you deal with conflict. I really want you to think about if there is room for improvement in your conflict resolution process. Have you ever thought about, how do I deal with conflict? How do I deal with conflict? Are four types of conflict. We're only going to focus on two, but there are four. There's interpersonal, meaning it's a conflict between two or more people. There's intrapersonal, conflict within yourself. There's intergroup, such as man versus woman, and there's intergroup, one culture against another culture, Republicans against Democrats. That is what intergroup is, and all of them are important, and I urge you to write them down. I urge you to look them up, but tonight we're going to focus on the first two, which is interpersonal and intrapersonal. And it's going to be an emphasis on intrapersonal with yourself. Spills out to interpersonal, intergroup, and intragroup. How you deal with conflict within yourself. And you may say, Nicole, how do I have conflict within myself? How is that possible? The conflict with who you are is exactly what I said in the beginning. Every day we are bombarded with images. We are bombarded with wording. We are bombarded with discussions that try to make us feel like we are not enough. And it is the ingredients to intrapersonal conflict. It is the ingredient to self-hate and self-hate and self-loathing. The ingredients to not accepting yourself for who you are, to always comparing yourself to somebody else, to never taking the time to understand your purpose, to never taking the time to understand your greatness. And when you don't understand self How do you expect to understand anything else around you? How do you expect to be able to foster healthy relationships if you don't understand self, if you are conflicted with yourself, if you're conflicted with your wants and you're conflicted with your needs and you're conflicted with what you think you should be doing in comparison to what you're doing? How do you expect to foster anything healthy outside of yourself if you don't have a healthy relationship within yourself? So I'm going to focus right now on intrapersonal, which is conflict within yourself. I have my notes all over, so just be patient with me, okay? So again, intrapersonal is conflict within yourself. And again, I say you have to sit back and you have to ask yourself, what are the issues that I have with myself and how do I resolve those issues? What are the things that I can change to make myself better? And I'm not talking about, you know, quote-unquote plastic surgery, anything like that. I'm talking about what are the things that you could do to change so that you could be better. I always say that when you recognize your greatness, it is very easy for you to recognize the greatness in other people, which reduces conflict. Again, I want to emphasize that we're always going to have conflict. There's nothing that we can do about it. That's the reality of life. And you know what's crazy? A lot of people don't feel like conflict is something that just is. And because they don't know how to handle conflict, the idea of conflict is conflicting for them, if that makes any sense. So they get all bent out of shape because there is a conflict, not understanding that there's going to be conflict, but how you deal with it is what matters. There's good and bad to it. I'm going to get to that. But how you deal with conflict is what matters, and how you deal with the conflicting thoughts you have with yourself, with the conflicting, you know, ideas you have with yourself, how you deal with your intrapersonal war within that you have within yourself is the very first step in dealing with conflict in a positive manner outside of yourself. Because if you're beating your own self up and you don't have positive conflict resolution within, you're not going to have it outside of yourself. As simple as that. And again, your intrapersonal conflict is, what is it called? Is, I can't find the word that I'm looking for right now. Your intrapersonal conflict is based on your self-love and your acceptance. When you're not walking in your purpose, right? When you're not walking in your purpose. So again, I ask you to, again, ask yourself, because this is intrapersonal. How do I deal with conflict? Why do I think I deal with conflict in the way that I do? Who taught me how to deal with conflict? What examples did I grow up around? How did I see people around me dealing with conflict? How do I see people around me dealing with conflict now? Has conflict become the it thing for me? That's a big one. Ask yourself, has conflict become the it thing for me? Do you find yourself always arguing with someone, always in a defensive mode, always trying to prove that you're right? Ask yourself, be honest, don't lie, because you're talking to yourself. What is my relationship with conflict? The other one that I'm going to talk about a little bit is interpersonal, two or more people, which I think is affected directly by intrapersonal. And it is the real or perceived incompatible goals and viewpoints that you have with people outside of yourself. I remember a long time ago I told someone, if you ever really look at why you get in disagreements with people, a lot of the sentences that you say, a lot of the things when you explain it, it starts with I. You'll say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. And I don't think that, right? And I don't think that she should be doing that. I don't think that he should move that way. I don't think he should talk like that. I don't think he should act like that. I don't think. I don't think that someone should be doing it. I think that you should agree with me. I think that you should follow my rules. I think that you should understand the way that I want you to understand. I think that you should live the way that I want you to live. A lot of times, the conflicts that we have is because someone is not doing something the way that you think it should be done. Someone is not doing something how you want them to do it. You're comparing. You're saying, you know what, I wouldn't do it like that, and I don't know why they're doing it like that, and, you know, this is a problem for me. Think about it. Well, it's because they are not living their life the way that the next person wants them to live it. And people don't know how to step away from that, and people don't know how to let people be who they are. I was sitting somewhere like a month ago, and I had this conversation with someone, and I said, it doesn't matter to me in a sense what these other people are doing unless it's hurting me directly. You know, it's easy for me to get along with most people because I don't have any expectation out of them but to be who they are. I don't need them to be who I want them to be. And it is a constant battle because it is human nature for you to want things your way. It's human nature for you to want people to think like you. It's human nature for you to want people to like the things that you like. It's human nature. But when you allow people to be who exactly who they are, those I sentences, those I paragraphs, those I arguments, they become less and less because you realize that they don't have to do things like you. They don't have to live like you. They don't have to like the things that you like. And that people are allowed to live their life in their skin, how they want to live them. And then you deal with the fact of if you want to deal with that. I always tell my daughter, no one owes you an understanding of why you are the way that you are. All you can do is be authentic and be honest about who you are, and the people around you will make the decision if they want to be within your presence or they don't. And as much as sometimes it hurts, because guess what? Everyone is not going to like you. Everyone is not going to be around you, and I don't care. Everyone is not going to want to be around you. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how sweet you think you are. I don't care how forgiving you are. I don't care how giving you are. There will always be somebody who doesn't want to be around you, or they don't like something that you say, or they don't like something that you do, and you have to be okay with that. Because when you're not okay with that, it creates conflict. When you're not okay with letting someone be who they are and think what they think and being able to make a decision, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and put space between this, it creates unnecessary conflict. And let's face it, we already got to deal with conflict that we have no control over. So the one thing we're going to do is learn how to deal with conflict that we can have control over and we can resolve in a positive manner. Be honest with yourself about the conflict you are experiencing. Be honest with yourself about the conflict you are experiencing. Ask yourself, why am I experiencing this? Why is there a conflict? Does this even matter? I'm going to be honest with you, and I know a lot of my listeners don't surf the, I don't even want to say the web, don't scroll through social media maybe the way that I do. I think it's funny. It's entertaining. It's no big deal to me. I don't need to take a social media break. It's entertaining to me. It's just as entertaining to me as reading a book. But I've been looking at this Meg Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj back and forth, and it's sad. And you know what? It's sad. It's sad on a couple of bases. It's sad because is this where we are in the world where we have two very successful artists, very successful women, black women, and this is where we're at. These are the things that we're doing. We're tearing each other down. We're going for the jugular, right? We're saying the worst shit to each other. All for what? For some likes? But let me tell you what's even more sad is the people up under these posts arguing with each other, going back and forth with each other, people who have never even met either one of these women. These women are not paying their bills. These women are not picking them up from work. These women are not helping them take care of their kids or picking them up from school. These women are not doing anything except that they listen to their music. And they are up in these comments each other, cursing each other out because of a difference of opinion, because of a loyalty to one and not the other, or the other way around. Literally, I read, and I hope it's not true, that they had to put security, right, at Meg Thee Stallion's mother's grave site so that some of the Nicki Minaj fans will not, what is it called, desecrate the grave. This is a form of conflict. This is a form of conflict. That's not anybody's conflict. It's those two's conflict, and it's leave it to them. Thousands and thousands, probably millions of people arguing with each other over this conflict between these two people because you're taking on somebody else's conflict. How many of you do that? How many of you get involved in someone else's conflict and it don't have anything to do with you? Nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. This is why we have to think and do better, because we have to realize what we are allowing ourselves to be a part of, the kind of energy that we are allowing around us, the kind of energy that we are putting out into the world. I wrote down here also, here's another example of negative conflict, road rage, conflict that you need to walk away from. So somebody cuts you off. Somebody cut you off. Yeah, they may have did it intentionally. They may have did it accidentally. You lose your mind. They lose their mind. Next thing you know, guy in the car shoots into another car, shoots a little child in the head and kills him instantly. Conflict, wasted conflict. Over what? Only later to think about it. I think they said that what I'm talking about, the mom gave the guy a finger, and then the guy shot in the car. You see people all the time in road rage getting out of their car, taking on conflict. That's not it. That means nothing. That means nothing. Everybody is rushing to get where? To go home, to go to the grocery store, right? To get to the party they're trying to go to their friend's house. But as soon as they get behind the wheel, they're rushing. They're rushing, they're rushing, they're rushing, they're rushing. And it creates conflict. And you don't like the way the other person is driving. The other person doesn't like the way that you drive. And that person is driving too slow. You think that, you know, they're driving too slow. They think that you're driving too fast. You happen to maybe get over too soon or something happens, and now somebody's life ends. Negative conflict resolution. How have you been taught to deal with conflict? Ask yourself again. How have you been taught? How have you been conditioned to deal with conflict? How are you letting conflict affect you? You just tuned in. This is the It's Me podcast. Well, It's Me, Nicole podcast, and I'm your host, Nicole Quinlan Lee. And this evening, we're talking about conflict. We're talking about how do we deal with conflict, because I'm always going to bring to you what I feel we need to really think about. And I do ask you to share my podcast with at least one person, not because I want to go, viral. It's because I want to open up conversation. I want people to think within. I want people to think about walking in their greatness, and I want people to think about being better. And part of that is us making the effort to kind of dissect how we deal with life. And tonight we're going to talk about how we deal with conflict, because guess what? None of us are, I don't even want to say blessed. None of us will live a life without conflict. None of us will. And so this is why we have to deal with it. We have to have these questions, these conversations. We have to ask ourselves the hard questions. And as we start to deal with conflict, we start to realize that conflict is a catalyst of good or bad. I just talked about the bad. But conflict can also be a catalyst for great things if we know how to deal with it. What are the positive aspects of conflict? It promotes new ideas. 9 times out of 10, the reason you come up with a new idea is because there's a little conflicting moment where you don't agree with something and you think of a different way to do it, or you think of how you can twist the story or how you can make something better. It promotes new ideas. It provides an opportunity to practice intrapersonal skills. That's the importance of why you have to be good with yourself, why you have to understand conflict within so that you can deal with conflict without. It provides an opportunity to practice interpersonal skills, and it can result in much-needed resolution if it's handled positively. Do you know how many people – okay, let me preface this by saying there are people that sometimes you have to walk away from, and it's not because you hate them. It's not because you don't want good for them. It's because your energy, their energy, it just doesn't align. It's never going to align, and that is okay. But there are people who have had conflicts over the stupidest things and never speak to each other again. And I'm going to tell you this, life is too short. Every single day, and I was just telling somebody that, I'm looking and I'm seeing somebody who did not wake up today or who started their day off and now they're gone from us in the flesh. We don't have time to waste on conflict that is not needed or conflict that doesn't, you know, per se make any sense, dumb things that we are getting in arguments over, dumb things that we are not speaking to our family over at all. We're wishing them badness, and we're hanging on to that negative energy every single day, and it's stopping us from developing great relationships with other people because we're so hung up on the conflict that we had 10 years ago. It affects everything that we're doing from that day forward. So conflict, a good thing about conflict, if you learn how to deal with it correctly, is that you can resolve some issues that have needed to be resolved, that have been waiting to be resolved, and that can be resolved. Negative conflict is caused, and simple as that, I was reading a lot of stuff, is caused by poor communication. It's caused by poor verbal skills, poor listening skills, the I syndrome, which is judging based on what you would do, judging other people based on what you would do. I just talked about that. But if you have poor communication skills, 9 times out of 10, you have poor conflict resolution skills. And that's an intrapersonal thing. That's something that you have to work on within yourself. That's something that you have to be honest within yourself about. How do I deal with conflict? There are people who have lived lifestyles where they had to fight tooth and nail all their life, and they don't know how not to. They don't know how to sit back and relax. They're still fighting in their sleep, fighting when they're awake. They're still fighting every single minute of the day that they can't even appreciate where they're at in the present. They can't even see that they've overcome so much that they faced. They've overcome so much conflict, actually. But they're so used. There are some people who are so used to conflict that when it's not at the level that they're used to, they'll create more because they're not comfortable. They're not comfortable. When I used to work at the shelter for victims of domestic violence, I used to see that. And we would bring in families and people into a violent-free zone. And our program was for 30 days, but we would extend it sometimes. And you would see, like, after about a week, the people would start arguing amongst each other because they're uncomfortable with the peace. They're used to conflict all the time. And when the peace hits, they don't know what to do with it. So guess what they do? They create more conflict. Again, I'm asking you, has conflict become the it thing for you? Are you accustomed to conflict? Has conflict your peace? And I say it like that because if there's no conflict in your life or if there's not a lot of it, because there's always going to be some of it, how do you feel? There are some people when the conflict is at the lowest of the low, they feel uncomfortable. They feel like something's going to happen. It's too peaceful. What the heck? What's going on? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy to be uncomfortable? to be uncomfortable when you don't have conflict running your life. How do you deal with conflict? What is your relationship with conflict in your life? Ask yourself that. Write it down. Be honest with yourself. Because why not be honest with yourself? Right? I just explained to you what out-of-control conflict can promote. There's one word, harm. Whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or whether it's spiritual. Out-of-control conflict, conflict that you are not making a active gesture to deal with in a productive manner, equates to harm, whether it is physical, mental, right, emotional, or spiritual. How do you deal with conflict every day? How are you dealing with it? I hope you can just stay with me because I know I have notes everywhere, everywhere. And so on this note, I have walk away when the communication fails. And remember that walking away is not a weakness. This directly touches on the question, how were you raised to deal with conflict? How did you see conflict being dealt with around you? There are people who think that walking away from things is a weakness, and it's not. Sometimes it's just necessary. There's people thinking that compromise is a weakness, and it's not. Sometimes it's necessary. There's people who are thinking that accommodating is a weakness. It's not. Sometimes it is necessary. Think that avoiding a conflict is a weakness, and it's not. Sometimes it's necessary. There are times that I have been in situations where I knew not to even get involved because I knew it would create a bigger conflict. And I made the conscious decision, I'm not even going to get into this because it's not even worth it, because there's nothing that I can say to change that person's mind. There's nothing that I can do to change where this conversation is going to go. There's nothing I can do to make this person see what I want them to see. And let's be honest, do we really need to? I remember when COVID was really kicking our everybody's behind, even though, you know, it's coming back up, but it's not like how when we were on lockdown. And people were arguing about the vaccine. And I remember saying, what are you arguing with somebody about this vaccine for? Either you want to get it or you don't. And don't worry about what somebody else wants to do. Worry about what you do and take the steps you need to do that you feel you need to do to protect yourself if that is what your fear is. But sitting down and arguing with somebody about why they should take the vaccine, why they're stupid for not taking it, is not effective. It's not productive, and it's a waste of your breath. Sitting down and have a conversation and telling them why they should follow a specific political leader when they've made up in their mind who they're going to support. There's really nothing that you can say. And this is what I'm talking about, choosing conflict, taking on conflict that is not yours. And in you doing your part the way that you need to do it and letting other people do what they do. And yes, sometimes the conversation is worth it. Sometimes the debate is worth it. But sometimes it's not. When do you walk away? You have to decide in you what is your relationship with conflict and why you never walk away, why you never compromise, why you never avoid, why you're always in 10 toes deep. Have you been conditioned to embrace conflict? Have you been conditioned to welcome it? Have you been conditioned to not deal with it in a productive manner? The questions that you have to ask yourself. Well, as I was looking this up, I saw this great article. It was all right. It was an all right article in Psychology Today. It was from last year in March. So you can actually Google it. It's Five Elements of Conflict Resolution, and it was in Psychology, and it covers kind of what I just was talking about. And it covers the five elements of conflict resolution, which are to collaborate, to compete, to compromise, or to accommodate. None of them are full force always right. It just depends on the situation. Collaboration is that you fight for or defend your viewpoint and you preserve the relationship by creating a win-win situation, meaning, you know, sometimes you don't have to fight it down to the death. That's what I call it. Competing means you prioritize fighting for or defending your viewpoint to the point of possibly damaging the relationship. Competing. And a lot of people did that in terms, we do that all the time politically. We do it health-wise. We have these debates with people that really are going to hit a brick wall, because in the end, people are who they are. They're going to think the way they want to think, and they're going to believe what they want to believe. And take my word for it, you arguing with them 9 times out of 10 is not going to change the way that they think. And so you have to make the decision. Is this someone I want to be around? Is this someone that I can go ahead and deal with this as long as we don't have this conversation? You have to make that decision. Compromising, you fight for, defend your viewpoint, and also preserve the relationship by having both sides settle for a suboptimal outcome. That means you meet in the middle. Is your conflict so big that you can't compromise, that you can't meet in the middle? Do you even consider it? Because sometimes that's the easiest way to deal with a conflict. It don't have to be your way. It doesn't have to be my way. Can we meet in the middle? Can we agree to disagree? Because sometimes that's meeting in the middle. You're not going to change my mind. I think the way that I think. Right? And the last one they show is accommodate, which means focus on preserving the relationship, but at the cost of sacrificing or betraying your viewpoint. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's what I was talking about when I say sometimes the conflict is there and you don't have to be a part of it, because in the end, where will it benefit you? Argument does not need to be had. You don't always have to be right. And sometimes even if you are right, it doesn't matter if somebody admits it. Period. You are in control of the kind of conflict that you have in your life most of the time. There's a percent that we cannot control, but there's a percent that we can. And how do you do that? These five elements of conflict will work. Are you going to collaborate? Are you going to compete? Are you going to compromise? Or are you going to accommodate? And I would think that these would switch up. When I read it, it kind of said that, like, the only good one was the compromising and I believe the accommodate. But I believe that in the real world, where we're dealing with real people and real life events and things that happen, all of these will come into play at one time. Collaboration, competing, compromising, or accommodating. But everything doesn't have to be a fight to the end. And we have to learn how to use conflict to benefit us. We have to learn how to use conflict in a more positive manner. And we have to learn that conflict is not necessarily bad, but, you know, it's not something, you know, that always has to be a drag-out fight. And you know what? I missed one. I'm sorry. One more. Avoid. Do nothing at all. And sometimes that happens, too. Sometimes it's not even worth it. I find that that's where I'm at. Sometimes I just it's not even worth it to me. I'm not even going to use the energy to go back and forth. And I don't know if that's a selfish thing or not. I'm looking within myself within that to find out if that's is that some kind of protective mode that I have. Maybe you have it. But sometimes we just avoid it altogether. There's no collaborating, no competing, no compromising, no accommodating. We just avoid it. No, not today. Because some days it's like that, and you're just not going to do it. Have you ever met someone that every time you talk to them, it's an argument? Every time you talk to them, there's a conflict. If you say it's green, they'll say that's not green. That's not regular green. That's Hunter green. That's forest green, right? If you say it's going to rain, they're going to be like, it's not going to rain. You know, I'm going to show you. It's on Google. If you say, you know, I'm only 5'2", you don't look 5'2". You look 5'1". Everything is always something. And that's why you have to ask yourself, what's my relationship with conflict and how do I deal with it? If we're not evolving, then what's the point? You know, I don't believe in that this is just me. I'm just set in my ways. This is just how I am. I don't believe that. We have to work on being better, right? To work on continuously evolving and understanding interpersonal skills, communication skills, so that we don't live a life full of conflict that we could have avoided. So that we live a life where if there is conflict, we know how to deal with it in a productive manner. I mean, who wants to be the old person always trying to always arguing? Who wants to be that person? What kind of quality of life is that? It's January 30th. Tomorrow's January 31st. Every single day, you have the opportunity to be a better person. Every single day, you have an opportunity to study yourself. We go to school, we get degrees, we go to work, we learn our trade, we do whatever it is we need to do. We take the time sometimes to help other people all the time. We sit down and we give all of our attention to social media and we give our attention to television and all these things. And I'm not telling you not to do that, but give some attention to yourself so that you can grow, so that you can walk in your purpose, so that you can walk in your greatness, so that you can foster healthy relationships. And there is conflict in healthy relationships. I have this thing because I used to know that I was, like, overdramatic. and I had, you know, people don't know, but I had, like, my temper is there. I just have learned how to control it. And I had a sergeant thing. I used to put myself on a three-day timeout. And if I got really, really upset, I wouldn't even discuss it for 3 days. And so now that I'm looking at these five elements of conflict, I don't know if that was avoiding. I don't know if that was what is it? Maybe compromising. I don't know if it was all of them within each other, but I used to give myself 3 days because I used to ask myself in those 3 days, like, why is this bothering you so much? Like, is this really that deep? Like, do you really want to have an argument over this? Why are you arguing over this? Do you really want to take it any further? Is it that important, Nicole? And 9 times out of 10 after the third day, it wasn't. I was in my feelings. Sleepy, hungry, depending on, you know, maybe what time of the month it was. It's the truth. This is what I'm talking about, understanding yourself so that you know how to deal with conflict, understanding why you respond the way that you do to things, understand why you handle things the way that you handle them. And by no means am I telling you you're not supposed to feel. And by no means am I telling you that, you know, you're never going to get mad or someone is never going to say something to you that is going to piss you off and that you should never get upset. But think about what you're allowing to control you. Think about what you are spending your time on. Think about if that is worth it to you. Is it worth it? What would be the benefit? What is the outcome? I know you guys don't want to hear this. I mean, I'm talking to myself, too. I deal with conflict every day at work, every single day, every single day. And every single day I have to have these conversations. What is worth it and what isn't? What is worth it and what isn't? Is it worth hurting that person's feelings? Is it worth damaging that relationship? Is it worth physically harming somebody? Is it worth emotionally harming somebody? Is it worth compromising your integrity? What is it worth? And the only way you're going to get control of that is that you practice positive, or I want to say, I don't want to say necessarily positive, but you practice productive conflict resolution. And the first step is being honest with yourself about how you deal with conflict. And sometimes it's a rude awakening. I always tell people, when you self-assess, when you do that self-audit, it's harsh sometimes when you really have to admit what kind of person you've been, or you have to admit where you do need to make some adjustments, some more positive adjustments to yourself. When you really look in the mirror, you realize that maybe you haven't always been, you know, the nicest person, or maybe you haven't always been the most understanding or reasonable person. When you look in the mirror, you realize, damn, I've embraced conflict, and conflict is normal for me, and I don't even know what to do when there's no conflict. I feel uncomfortable. Crazy, isn't it? And this is stuff that not only that we have to think about, when we gain these understandings and we raise our children to understand this, and we are breaking generational curses. You guys know that? When we work on self, we are breaking generational curses. Isn't that our responsibility? Sometimes I look out and I see some of the stuff going on, and I'm not someone who's like, ooh, look at them young people, because I believe that everybody has issues. But I do see lost. I do see lost people, and I see them in every single age. I see them from every single culture. I see it in whatever these classes that we have, classes in terms of upper, middle, lower class. There are so many people who are walking around here lost because they just don't know how to deal. And no one has taught them. And everyone thinks that, you know what, I got mine, you need to get yours. And no one understands the importance of a tribe anymore. And I get it, because it's dangerous out there. You got road rage. You got people going postal. You got people just sitting out here just harming people just because they don't know how to deal with conflict. They've been taught to always let it get the best of them. They've been taught always to fight to the death. But where has that got us? Where has that got us? When I look out in America, I see that, you know what? We are a reflection of the people that we have chosen to lead this country. We really are, as people. When I look at individuals, I'm a reflection of what my mom raised, what I was raised around. You are a reflection of who you were raised around and who raised you. We all are a reflection of who we've chosen to consider leaders. And it's a hot-ass mess out there right now. It doesn't mean it can't be cleaned up, but it is a hot mess. And so I ask you again, just ask yourself, how has conflict positioned itself in my life? That's the question. How has conflict positioned itself in life? How do I deal with conflict? Write it out. Be honest with yourself. Look it up. Google it. Read about it. Read about intrapersonal, intergroup, intragroup conflict. I'm going to stand by the fact that I believe that intrapersonal is the most important, and it will spill out into all the other ones, because however it is you deal with conflict within is how you will deal with it outside of yourself. You know what we're doing? We're being better people in 2024 and on. We're evolving. We're learning. We're not perfect, right? And there's no perfection, because we're continuously evolving so that we can understand the purpose of our lives. We can understand why it's so important to boldly walk in your greatness, boldly do it. I read I follow this guy named Sadhguru. I hope that I'm saying it right. And he said, the difference between ignorance and knowing is just a subtle shift in perception. The difference between ignorance and knowing is just a subtle shift in perception. That's a loud, loud quote. Subtle shift in perception. The difference in how you deal with conflict is just a subtle shift in perception. If you don't know, like I said in my last podcast, now you know. And you're not going to know if you don't go seek the knowledge for yourself. Don't let conflict steal your joy in your life. Learn how to deal with it so that you could live the best possible life. We have to live our lives and we have to live a good quality of life. And I'm not talking about materialistically or monetarily. I'm talking within, loving yourself, right, accepting yourself. And the only way you're going to do that is deal with your interpersonal conflict and understand what are the issues that you have with yourself and fix that. And then it'll spill out with how you deal with the people around you. It definitely makes a difference, no doubt about it. I have to read that one more time. The difference between ignorance and knowing is just a subtle shift in perception. I know that we've all been raised a certain kind of way, but I encourage you to self-audit because your way is not the only way. There's more than one way to win. There's not just one way to win. And guess what? Sometimes winning is not always important. There's just more than one way to do things. Your way is not always the way. Don't get caught up in the I syndrome. Allow people to be who they are. Accept people for who they are. And then you don't have to worry about that. Thank you, everyone, for joining me this evening. I cannot believe we're at the end of the month. It is so crazy. Tomorrow is January 31st. I'm going to tell you something that's weird. I didn't even think there was a January 31st. I know. I'm sorry, you guys. I know. You know, I have moments. But we're at January 31st. We have finished out the month of January. Time flies. And don't you want to do it? Living life to the fullest? Don't you want to? As fast as this time is going, we don't have time to sit around being unhappy. Right? We don't have time looking in the mirror and not liking what we see back, not liking what we hear. Right? We have to make a conscious effort to walk in our greatness boldly, unapologetically. So, I mean, keep on. Keep it. But know that you put in work and everything else, put work in yourself. And if you heard it nowhere else from me, I may have changed the name, but you are definitely phenomenal. You are definitely a masterpiece. You are definitely worth every effort that needs to be taken in order for you to understand the importance of walking in your greatness. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a wonderful evening because I'm going to bed. You guys know I go to bed early. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless. Be safe. Snuggle up. You guys, stop rushing everywhere. You know what? Just do what you do. Have a good evening, everybody.